and this can be found on page 203 in the church Bibles. When you have entered the land of the Lord, your God is giving you as an inheritance, and have taken possession of it and settled in it, take some of the first fruits of all that you produce from the soil of the land, and the Lord your God is giving you, and put them in a basket. Then go to the place the Lord your God will choose as a dwelling for his name, and say to the priest in office at the time, I declare today to the Lord your God that I have come to the land the Lord swore to our forefathers to give us. The priest shall take the basket from your hands and set it down in front of the altar of the Lord your God. Then you shall declare before the Lord your God, my father was a wandering Aramean, and he went down into Egypt with a few people and lived there and became a great nation, powerful and numerous. But the Egyptians mistreated us and made us suffer, putting us to hard labor. Then we cried out to the Lord, the God of our fathers, and the Lord heard our voice and saw our misery, toil, and oppression. So the Lord brought us out of Egypt with a mighty hand and an outstretched arm, with great terror and with miraculous signs and wonders. He brought us to this place and gave us this land, a land flowing with milk and honey. And now I bring the first fruits of the soil that you, O Lord, have given me. Place the basket before the Lord your God, and bow down before him. And you and the Levites and the aliens among you shall rejoice in all the good things the Lord your God has given to you and your household. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
Reading this morning is from Luke chapter 4, the first 13 verses. And this is what I'm going to be talking about in a few moments' time. It's on page 1030 if you want to follow in the church Bibles. Hear the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ according to Luke. Glory to you, O Lord. And Jesus, full of the Holy Spirit, returned from the Jordan and was led by the Spirit in the wilderness for 40 days, being tempted by the devil. And he ate nothing during those days. And when they were ended, he was hungry. The devil said to him, if you're the Son of God, command this stone to become bread. Jesus answered him, it is written, man shall not live by bread alone. And the devil took him up and showed him all the kingdoms of the world in a moment of time and said to him, to you I will give all this authority and their glory, for it's been delivered to me, and I give it to whom I will. If you then will worship me, it will be all yours. But Jesus answered him, it is written, you shall worship the Lord your God, and him only shall you serve. The devil then took him to Jerusalem and set him on the pinnacle of the temple and said to him, if you're the Son of God, throw yourself down from here. For it's written, he will command his angels concerning you to guard you, and on their hands they will bear you up, lest you strike your foot against a stone. But Jesus answered him, it is said, you shall not put the Lord your God to the test. And when the devil had ended every temptation, he departed from him until an opportune time. This is the gospel of the Lord. Praise to you, O Christ. Do sit down. On here.
Sorry about that. I'm just apologising to
Glyn
because those are his sermon notes on my PowerPoint, and I've noticed he's got some very nice pictures and some Bible verses, and I haven't got them. So that's my fault. I'm sorry.
Right.
Will you be all right?
I'll have to be.
Will you be all right? I will go and be penitent in a corner. Sorry,
I'm not doing very well on this. Fiona managed to do this a few weeks back. Right, we'll reorganise. I cringed a few moments ago when Adam started to talk about the electoral roll and the annual meeting. I was at a church up in Peterborough 3 weeks ago, and the church warden did that little spiel that Adam has just done, and he went on for 10 minutes about the wonders of the electoral roll and then listed all the duties of the PCC. It was absolutely awful. 10 whole minutes just going on and on about the electoral roll and the PCC.
Just
so thank you.
If you don't put your names down, I'll do that.
Tell me when you're doing it. I may not be available that Sunday. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you for your word. Thank you for all that you do for us, for all that you tell us. And be with us now, we pray, in Jesus' name. Amen. The passage that I've just read, the temptations of Jesus in the wilderness, probably one of the best known Bible stories. It's the sort of story that comes up regularly in Sunday schools and so on. It's a story that, by definition, Jesus must have passed down to the writers of the gospel, or perhaps it went second hand from them onto another one, because it was only Jesus there. So all that we read of these temptations was Jesus having passed the word on to the disciples and them to write this down within the gospel. Note the first and the last verses. Let me read them to you so we haven't got them on the screen. The very first verse of that passage in Luke chapter 4. Now Jesus, full of the Holy Spirit, left the Jordan, and he was led by the Spirit into the wild. Jesus was led by the Spirit into the wild. The Spirit of God, Jesus, the Trinity, all there at the very beginning of that chapter. And then the last verse, which struck me every time I've read this passage in preparing, that completed the testing. At the end of the three temptations, the devil retreated temporarily, lying in wait for another opportunity. Doesn't that spell out the power of the devil? Lying in wait for another opportunity. We've got here a confrontation between the two most powerful spirits on the universe, the Holy Spirit of God and the spirit of the devil. And let's never undermine the power that he has. Let's note the humanity of the devil. It isn't an it, as we sometimes refer to the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit isn't it, it's a he, or perhaps in today's world we should perhaps say a she. And the same is true of the devil. He is a person, not just a sort of vague power that is somewhere out there. The devil is a very real person. And we've got Jesus, fresh from his baptism. If you just go back a few verses into chapter 3, you find him being baptized in the Jordan, full of the Spirit, raring to go in his ministry. And that's when the devil strikes for the first time. Because Jesus, at the end of 40 days in the wilderness, is clearly tired and, boy, hungry. That wilderness is absolutely dreadful. I've said this before standing here, and I'll say it again. It's one of the most scary moments of my life, standing on a hill in Israel and looking out at nothing but stones and prickly bits of things for as far as you can see. That's the wilderness. Jesus had been there for 40 days, was tired, and he was hungry. Now, the temptations themselves are beyond our thinking or imagination. I'm just going to mention them, and then we'll look at a few more practical issues. Bread, hungry. Come on, says the devil, you could turn the stone into some bread. Well, of course Jesus could. He turned water into wine a few weeks later, well able to do it, but not prepared to put on a show for the devil. And so the answer was no. Or, to be precise, it is written, and he went back to some of the thoughts in Deuteronomy. And then the devil comes along and takes him to hell and said, look at this, the whole world, as we can see it today, it's mine. I'm the prince of this world. And I'll give it to you if you bow down and worship me. And Jesus was very quick to respond and say no. And then took him to the top of the temple in Jerusalem and said, this is all pretty straightforward. If you jump from here, the angels will catch you. And the devil knew the Bible. He actually referred back to those verses in Psalms. Let me read them to you. This is Psalm 91. For he will command his angels concerning you to guard you in all your ways. They will lift you up in their hands so that you will not strike your foot against a stone. The devil quoted that verse to Jesus. Interesting, he didn't quote the next verse, which says, you will tread on the lion and the cobra, you'll trample the great lion and the serpent. The devil very conveniently forgot to mention that one. Jesus tempted on those three occasions, and each time he replied with a verse of scripture. So we can see what he's been doing for the previous 30 years. As you know, we know virtually nothing, one little incident from the time Jesus was born to the time when now he comes out into his public ministry at the age of 30. The Christian has got only one weapon in their armoury. Let me read to you Ephesians chapter 6, verse 17. The Bible is the sword of the Spirit. Years ago, I used to go to a Sunday school up in Birkenhead, and the place was packed every Sunday, and the kids used to say, draw your sword, and they waved their Bibles in the air. Ephesians 6:17 says, take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. The only weapon of offense that we have as Christians is the sword of the Spirit. It's the Word of God. And it was that that Jesus used, and used very effectively. And a question to us, how often do I in our daily lives be aware of the Bible and what it says? Here's Jesus three times as the devil tempts, out comes scripture. And I was thinking to myself as I looked at these verses, how often do I think of a Bible verse in a situation? And it may be that we just don't know our Bibles anything like the way that Jesus did. Let's look at the devil. He's powerful. Ephesians chapter 6 verse 12, for our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the powers of this dark world, and against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly realms. The devil, he is very, very powerful. And it's very easy just to sort of, well, yes, this is good stuff we read in the Bible. he is very powerful. He knows when and where to attack. He's very crafty. Genesis 3, at the very beginning of time. Now the snake was more crafty than any of the wild animals the Lord God had made. He said to the woman, "Did God really say you must not eat from any tree in the garden?" Did he really say that? The devil is very, very crafty, as well as being very, very powerful. And we're going to be tempted at our weakest moments, and I'm going to talk about myself in a few moments' time. The devil knows exactly, and you know if you think about it, that he knows exactly when and where he can actually just stick the pin into us. Adam and Eve, right back to the very beginning, when the woman saw that the fruit of the tree was good for food and pleasing to the eye and also desirable for gaining wisdom, she took some and ate it. She also gave some to her husband who was with her, and he ate it. Adam and Eve had the whole of the garden, this wonderful place before them. Just one thing, "You mustn't," said God, "take that particular fruit." And the devil very cleverly says, "Come on, come on. Did he really say that? It's one apple in the whole." The devil knew exactly, and there we have what we often call the fall of man. It's where sin came from on day one in our world. Children of Israel out in the desert, 40 years in that wilderness, 40 years, those stones and prickles. And they got fed up with Moses, they got fed up with God. And the devil said, "Build yourself an idol, make one. It's something very real in front of you. You can worship that idol rather than this sort of God that's getting you nowhere." The devil knew exactly where to attack. And in today's world, it's exactly the same. A very good friend of mine, similar in many ways, a chartered accountant, lost his wife. And got lonely, and the guys from the office would go off at the end of the day and have a couple of drinks before they went home, and he joined them. Then he went home, and while he was knocking up some food, he had a drink. And then when the food was ready, he opened the bottle of wine, and you can see where I'm going. Somebody introduced him to online gambling. And again, mainly in his loneliness, he picked this up. And quite quickly, a man of God, and a, dare I boast about, he's a sane chartered accountant in the City of London, fell with both alcohol and gambling. And it all came about because the devil saw a very powerful man. No doubt about that. Very powerful man. And there was that point of weakness. He was lonely, he'd lost his wife, and in went the devil. It was his weakness. I stand beside him. I enjoy a glass of wine with a meal. If it's a long meal, perhaps two glasses. Thereafter, to be honest with you, I don't like any more alcohol. It's never bothered me at all. Gambling, I realised quite early on as a chartered accountant, it was a mug's game. One knew exactly who was going to win when it came to gambling, and so it never bothered me. And I've proved it in recent times. The only gambling I've done recently is giving money to Mark over there at the Evergreens Christmas and summer lunches. And I've given him a fortune over a period of time, never got anything back at all. I watch people going up time after time and getting all these wonderful gifts, and Mark's green number 47. And I look and I've got red number 39. But I say that because the devil has never got at me in any way in terms of alcohol or gambling, which is so frequent amongst those in my profession in the city, because he knows that isn't my weakness. But what he does do is to say, oh, where can we get a Glyn? And it's very easy for me to be complacent. I've been a Christian for many years. I know God, and it's very easy to take him for granted. And the devil can very easily say to me, don't bother, you know, just go ahead and do. And it was interesting, just this last week, I got from a friend of mine who's just taken up a pastorate in a church over in North London, and he's agreed with the church council there that I think he spent 2 days a week doing an itinerant sort of ministry, going around speaking at youth groups, doing training courses and so on. And he said in his email to me, I'm learning to join in with what God is doing, not ask him to bless what I'm doing. I'm learning to join in with what he's doing, not ask him to bless what I'm doing. That's Matt's comment. And that I can see so clearly in my own life. I can get on with it. Come on, I've been here before. And God can very easily push me in a direction which is the wrong one. That's where he can tempt me. And every one of us is going to be subject to that temptation that hits us where it hurts. In James, dear old James, each person is tempted when they're dragged away by their own evil desire and enticed. Then, after desire has conceived, it gives birth to sin, and sin, when it's full grown, gives birth to death. Then each person is tempted when they're dragged away. And that is exactly what the devil did to Jesus. And it's exactly what happens to us today. And again, I read somewhere that the pirate's great prize is a very rich ship. The richest ship is the pirate's greatest prize. He's after the best he can get. I remember our rector back in my teenage days as a young Christian, and I was thinking, my goodness, he's got it easy, Mr. Pouncey, austere. I think when he was doing the gardening, he took his suit off and had a blazer and a pair of flannels on. But he was very austere, and the thought of anyone calling him by his Christian name, my goodness. Occasionally we were very daring and called him AGP, Anthony G. Pouncey, a wonderful man of God, but very austere. And I thought, he's got it easy. There's no way in which he could be tempted. He's a pillar of Christian society. But I realised as time has gone on, and you can probably check with our own vicar at the end of the service, that the Christian leaders are tempted in exactly the same way as ordinary people like you and I. They're tempted differently. And recently, we've had a number of major Christian leaders who've fallen. I'm not going to name names, but one who's written many books, preached all over the world, a name that is the top of the Christian pinnacle, has now been thrown out of his church, and there's disarray and allegations of sexual misdemeanors over many years. A great, great man of God fallen. And in financial issues, similarly, it can be a great problem. Great men and women of God tempted at their weak point. And this guy clearly had a weak point where it came from his dealings with women in his congregation mainly. Happily married man. But the devil knew that he could get at him in that area. The devil tempts in the area of our weakness. But let me just conclude. 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 13, one of my favourite passages. Paul Paul speaking to the Corinthians, no test or temptation that comes your way is beyond the course of what others have had to face. All you need to remember is that God will never let you down. He'll never let you be pushed past your limit. God will never let you be pushed past. The temptation is there, massive temptation, different to all of us. God will never let us be pushed beyond our limit. He'll always be there to help you come through it. Submit yourselves, says James, then to God. Resist the devil, and he will flee from you. Let's be aware of the power, that cosmic power, the second most powerful being in the universe. And a final verse from Hebrews. For we do not have a high priest who is unable to feel sympathy for our weakness, but we have one who's been tempted in every way. We've just read about it, just as we are. Totally different temptations. You and I aren't going to be taken to the top of the church or the top of the hill. That's not relevant to us. But tempted, Jesus, to him, real temptations. We have one who's been tempted in every way, just as we are, yet he did not sin. And my final slide was to simply put up there the words, what if he had sinned? Think about it. If Jesus had fallen to one of those temptations and sinned, no Christian faith. He couldn't have gone on the cross and died for your sins and mine. He'd be dying for his own sins. Massive, massive, as Jesus pushed away the devil. On those three occasions, he was sinless, and he had to be sinless in order to die and rise again for us. Great news. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you. Thank you for your word. Thank you that you protect us against the power of the devil. Be with us in this, we ask in Jesus' name. Amen.